Anne Harding, Dorothy L'Amour, W.C. Fields, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Richard Rodgers and Lorenz Hart, Ray Middleton, Werner Jansen, Don Amici. This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour! This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Amici. Tonight, we welcome back to Health and Heartiness, W.C. Fields. In this, we are joined by Edgar Bergen and his famous dummy, Charlie McCarthy. Dorothy L'Amour, Hollywood's latest singing glamour girl. Dick Rogers and Larry Hart, two of America's leading composers. And Ray Middleton to sing Rogers and Hart's most striking composition. Golden-haired Anne Harding, back from the London stage. And her husband, Werner Jansen, America's foremost conductor, who interprets one of the hit tunes of the day, Too Marvelous for Words. From Right to Wrong, meet Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Ventriloquist Edgar Bergen brings his top-headed dummy, Charlie McCarthy, and speaks for both. But when Edgar speaks for Charlie, his own lips never move, and you'd swear that the words are coming out of Charlie's mouth. Since the first appearance on the Rudy Valley Hour just a few months ago, Edgar and Charlie have zoomed to the top of the heap in the field of comedy. So, Mr. Edgar Bergen, speak for yourself.
Thank you, Don. That was very nice. Didn't you like it, Charlie?
Well, yes, no. I still miss Rudy Valley. I don't know. Just not happy, that's all.
Not happy in Hollywood?
No. Mr. Bergen, my body may be in Hollywood, but my soul is still in Radio City.
Well, after you've been here a while and met everybody, Charlie, you'll soon learn to like Hollywood.
Uh-huh. Mr. Amici, how long have you been here?
Oh, just about a year, I guess.
Uh-huh. What do you do?
Charlie. No, don't you know Charlie Don is in pictures?
Oh, is he rather?
Yes.
Ooh, fascinating work, that extra business, isn't it?
Don Amici's a star, remember? You saw him in One in a Million.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Which one was he?
Well, why, he was Sonia Henny's leading man.
Oh, Sonia Henny. Swell skater, huh?
Yes, Charlie, she's positively lovely.
Yeah? Well, if you're so positive about it, you don't happen to know her phone number, do you?
You certainly overrate yourself, young man.
Oh, I don't know about that. I did pretty well with the stewardess on the airplane coming out here.
Oh, yes.
Such service. Served me lunch, and she talked to me, and she slapped my face, and...
And you certainly deserved it, too, young man.
Yes.
Yes, such conduct on the plane, it was shameful.
What did I do that was wrong? What did I do? Name five things.
In the first place, what in the world possessed you to go back there in the washroom and drop pop bottles out of the airplane?
All that, yes. I was playing bomber.
Bomber. And then you talk to the pilot.
Yeah, but why, I don't know why they serve those at lunch in those paper cups and those paper dishes.
Oh, well, that's to save weight.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, every pound counts.
Oh, that's it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that why they made the hand towels so small, too?
Oh, I didn't think the hand towels were so small.
Well, they were so small, I was almost ashamed to put them in my suitcase.
Well, I'm really ashamed of you, Charlie.
Are you really?
Yes, yes. Don't you ever stop to regret your actions?
Oh, I'm too busy thinking what to do next. Anyway, we got here, didn't we?
Yes.
That's the important thing.
Yes.
Now, I suggested tomorrow we should visit the studios or go fishing.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, but tomorrow I have to look for a house in the suburbs.
Oh, do you?
Yes. And then, of course, comes the servant problem.
Oh, just that. Well, if you get stuck for a butler, remember, I'm trained.
That's right.
Yes, you rehearsed me, remember? To go as Rudy Valley's valley?
That's right. And if I remember correctly, you were a terrible mess at it.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I remember everything you told me.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
I'd be glad to help you out temporarily. And besides, I can use the cash.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure that I can use you.
Well, I'm sure I can use the cash.
Yes. Well, I believe in letting a boy work for his money.
Yes, you've proven that.
Yes. And I will consider you.
Yeah?
Yes. But remember, Charlie, always efficiency.
Oh, yes.
And always courtesy.
Oh, definitely, my lord.
Yes. And the name will be Bertram.
Good old Bertram.
Yes. And all, and at no time must there be any incident.
Oh, thanks to fault, my lord. Oh.
You. And remember, Charlie, Thursday I rest.
Quite so.
I see no visitors on Thursday.
Oh, don't you?
No. Thursday is my not-at-home day.
Your not-at-home day?
That's right.
Where do you go?
I stay at home.
Oh, you stay? Oh, that's marvelous. Marvelous. A bit sneaky, eh, what?
Yeah. Now the thing is, if someone comes to the door, what do you say?
We don't need any.
No. No, I mean, suppose a friend of mine, for example, suppose Lord Sithersby of England should come and call on me.
Yeah?
Yes. What do you say?
Is it Thursday?
Yes, Thursday.
Uh-oh. No-go.
No-go, that's right.
I give him the bum's rush.
No. No, you must give him the greatest courtesy.
Is that so?
Yes. That is where tact is required.
Mm-hmm.
Now, suppose I'm Lord Sithersby.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling to see Mr. Burgundy.
Yeah, very good.
Yes, all right. Now, you're the butler.
Very good, my lord. Go ahead.
I'm at the door now.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, knock. Yes, all right. How do you do, Lord Sithersby?
Now, wait a minute. How do you know it's Lord Sithersby?
Oh, well, you just told me.
Oh. You don't.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Knock again.
First you ask the name.
That's right.
Yes.
Hello. Come in. What's your name, Lord Sithersby?
No.
What's the name?
That's better.
Uh-huh.
Yes. My name is Lord Sithersby.
Very good, sir.
Yes. I would like to see Mr. Bergen.
I'm sorry, but it's Thursday, if you know what I mean. He's not in.
He's not in.
Yeah.
Well, where is he?
He's in and he's out. He's puffing about, as it were.
Well, just what is he doing?
At the moment, he's sleeping.
Sleeping.
Yes.
Then he's not out.
No, he's all in.
He's all in.
And that's why he didn't go out. But if you think you're going to see him, you're out of luck.
Yes. But I'm Lord Sithersby from the Isle of Wight.
Is that so?
Yes.
Well, I suggest you wait until tomorrow.
No.
Do I get the job?
Well, not so fast. You see, now there's a questionnaire to fill out.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about your character.
Well, I'm taking the same chances with you, you know.
Yes, I know.
Now, what about the salary?
Oh, the salary.
Yes, there is a salary, I hope.
Yes. Well, the salary, it will be a small starting salary.
A small starting salary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it will start.
It will start.
It can limp along.
Oh, yes.
And could you say how small it would be?
I'm awfully sorry, Charlie. I can't say how small it will be.
Oh, they don't make money that small, huh?
Oh, go away.
Dorothy L'Amour, Hollywood's newest star. Beautiful, versatile, glamorous.
Yes, and in addition to that, she's not bad. She's not half bad, if you know what I mean.
Thank you, Charlie. You're very cute.
You're kind of cute yourself. Now, considering that we're going to be working together, I think we ought to be good friends, don't you?
Yes, Charlie, we all ought to be good friends, but...
Now, don't cramp my style, M.H.A.
I'm sorry.
Miss L'Amour.
Yes, Charlie.
Would you care, how about a lemonade or something?
Now, Charlie, please postpone your lemonade invitation till later, will you?
All right. I bow to Arthur, but I defer to Dorothy. Curtsy.
Thank you, Charlie. Curtsy.
As a result of one curtsy to another, Dorothy L'Amour sings What Will I Tell My Heart?
I'll try to explain to friends dear the reason we two are apart. I know what to tell our friends, dear, but what will I tell my heart? It's easy to say to strangers that we played a game from the start. It's easy to lie to strangers, but what will I tell my heart when I smile to hide all the tears inside? What an ache it will bring. Then I'll wander home to a telephone that forgot how to ring. I could say you'll soon be back, dear, to fool the whole town, maybe smart. I'll tell them you'll soon be back near, but what will I tell my heart? When I smile to hide all the tears inside, what a name it will bring. Then I'll wander home to a telephone that forgot how to ring. I could say you'll soon be back, dear, to fool the whole town, maybe smart. I'll tell them you'll soon be back, dear, but what will I tell my heart? What will I tell my heart?
Baba, Miss L'Amour, Baba, I might even say Babissima. How about knocking off that schooner of lemonade now?
Thank you, Dorothy. John Heaston, may we hear from you?
Thank you, Don Amici. I want to welcome everyone in the United States and Canada to this new hour of radio entertainment sent to you by the makers of Chasen Sanborn Coffee. Chasen Sanborn Coffee is the superb blend that gives you more value for your money. More value in two ways. A richer, more satisfying flavor and a very reasonable price. Chasen Sanborn Dated Coffee is a blend of the world's choice coffees. And you get it at the peak of its marvelous flavor. For as soon as it's roasted, every pound is rushed to your grocer by the same rapid delivery system that brings him his Fleischmann's fresh yeast. The date of delivery is plainly marked on every bag. This system guarantees freshness and full flavor. It also makes high-priced containers needless. Instead, we pack this finer, fresher blend in an economical dated bag and give you the saving. Enjoy this superb blend and take advantage of the worthwhile cash saving. Buy a pound of Chasen Sanborn Dated Coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
The Guardsman, one of the most brilliant plays ever presented by the Theater Guild. Tonight, to add sparkle to Ferenc Molnár's clever lines, we give you Miss Anne Harding. It is a privilege to play opposite so great an actress and so lovely a person as Miss Harding.
Thank you, Don Amici.
Guardsman, presenting Miss Anne Harding in the role of Marie, popular Viennese actress, and Don Amici as Tony, her equally popular actor husband who fears he is losing her love. Tony decides to test Marie. Disguised as a Russian guardsman, he makes love to her. He confides his plan to their old friend, Dr. Bernard. And now we find Tony, dressed as the guardsman, alone in his own living room with Dr. Bernard.
It's not so easy, Tony, to play a part and fool your own wife.
Either I'm a good actor or I'm not. And if I can act for money, for fame, why can't I do it to test the love of my own wife?
Well, I must admit, the guardsman's uniform becomes you. Any woman would find it hard to resist you.
But she has resisted me, Bernard. Once this afternoon, I was afraid she wouldn't. But to see her conquer her feeling for this guardsman, crush it. That means more than happiness, dear friend. That means peace of mind.
Then she is true to you?
There is no doubt of it. And a woman who can be true to her husband when I am the lover will be true always.
But what did you do about Olmutz? Didn't you tell her you were playing 3 performances there?
Oh, I sent a wire and called it off. But she thinks I'm there. I actually left for the train, then rushed next door, put on this uniform, mustache, wig, and presented myself for tea. Prince Vasily Samsonov.
You sound very convincing with that accent.
Not for nothing, Bernard, did I want to visit Russia.
Dr. Bernard is a easel. Oh, that is nice of him. Bernard, what do you think of my conquest? Rather nice, isn't it?
Well, what else can one expect when you are the lady?
Oh, forgive me. This is Prince Vasily Samsonov. Prince, Dr. Bernard.
I have been most correct in my behavior so far. And therefore, the presence of this doctor...
Dr. Bernard.
Dr. Bernard will not prevent me from saying before him as a witness that there is nothing I would not do, nothing I would not sacrifice if you...
If I...
You know what I would say.
Oh, I know, but I want to hear you say it.
What do you want to hear?
I want to hear the end of that long sentence. I want to hear you say you love me.
Oh, great heavens.
Bernard, he doesn't understand. Bernard, look at him. He's no beauty, but at last, a man who has no ringing voice, a man who, thank heaven, is neither intelligent nor brilliant nor melancholy nor sentimental. Bernard, this simple, honest, stupid... Come, see, he doesn't even know how to behave. But dear old friend, at last, after all these years, our man...
Yes, but now with my congratulations, may I leave you?
Oh, must you?
I must. I really must. I only stopped in to make sure that you were not too lonely. You'll forgive me, Prince.
But certainly.
Prince, do you realize what life has done to us? I do not know what is happening to me.
And you do not know what is happening to me.
You should have known I would burn with a great flame once you set me alight. Now you're afraid.
I am mad. My happiness has turned my head. I do love you.
You do love me.
I love you. I adore you. I worship you.
Are you as happy as I?
I am unspeakably happy, and I am going to kiss you. When shall I see you again?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow at 5.
Tomorrow at 5.
Lisa? I shall want tea for 2 in glasses. Russian tea.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not at home. I shan't be back all afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Of course, when the prince comes, Lito, you'll let him in.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, it's you, sir.
What? All alone, my love?
Oh, it's you, Tony. What brought you back so soon?
What's that? I returned 2 whole days early, and all you have to say is, what's brought you back so soon? Is
well,
that all your greetings?
I'm interested to know why you played only one of your 3 performances in Olmutz.
It's perfectly simple, my dear. This morning I received a telegram from her own theater saying that Krauss was ill and that they would put on Hamlet. You know perfectly well that when I play Hamlet, there isn't even standing room, so...
Oh, naturally... I know. Spare me the rest of the press notices.
Well, in short, here I am with my sweet little wife. And what did you do with yourself all last evening?
Nothing.
Oh, weren't you bored doing nothing?
No.
You didn't go anywhere?
No.
I thought you were going to the opera.
Yes, how silly of me. Of course, I quite forgot. I did go.
Yeah. Alone?
Of course.
No one was there with you?
No one.
Oh.
If I tell you I was alone, I was alone.
Oh, of course, but someone mentioned something about a soldier, a guardsman.
Guardsman? What do you mean?
You were in box number 4, first here.
Oh, I see.
You pay someone 10 gulden to spy on me.
20 gulden, possibly.
Throwing your money away. Very well, that was where I sat.
But you didn't exactly sit in the box. You spent the greater part of the evening in the anteroom with the guardsmen.
That is not true.
Mrs. Spengler, the usher, says it is.
Mrs. Spengler, the usher, is lying.
All right, I'll send for her.
Just a moment. Is this a joke?
Oh, no, this is not a joke.
And you really, seriously think that while you were away working for me, that I was entertaining food? That I, who gave up her freedom, her whole life for your sake, that while you were away, I should be entertaining soldiers.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, don't get so excited.
How could you do that to me?
Oh, my dear, this has really gone the...
I can't stand it any longer. No, I feel all is over between us.
All is... Oh, Marie, now don't say such things. You know how madly I love you.
But you suspect me.
No, I do not suspect you.
You believe lies about me?
No, I don't believe anything wrong about you.
You're not saying that because you really believe. No. I'm going away. I must.
Marie, now, listen, you can't go, darling. What would I do without you? I should die.
You really mean it from your very, very heart that you don't believe those malicious lies?
Of course I don't believe them. I swear it.
You love and trust me?
I love you and trust you.
And it was all lies and slander.
It was all lies and slander. Oh, my darling.
How I must love you to be able to forgive this. But I do forgive you.
I shall love only you, darling, forever and ever.
And you believe in me?
I believe in you. Oh, please forgive me. I'm so in love with you that... Why are you crying?
Oh, if I could only tell you why I'm crying.
Oh, now, my sweet. Now, don't cry anymore, please. Now, you rest while I go and change my clothes.
Oh, if you men only understood your wives, you'd go away and leave me alone for a while. I'm so nervous after this dreadful scene. I'm a wreck.
Very well, my love. To show you how considerate I am of your nerves, I'll go. As soon as I change my...
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what is taking you so long? I thought you were going out.
I'm ready now. Precisely 5 o'clock. His Majesty himself could not be more punctual.
Oh, good afternoon, Prince. I began to think you weren't coming.
Really? What does all this mean? Are you trying out a part? Are you acting?
No, darling, you're doing the acting. You're even in costume.
Yes, I am, and I hope you realize why. And instead of begging my forgiveness, now that you're exposed, instead of realizing that the moment has come when even your lies are of no avail, you were... What does this mean? Doesn't this guardsman's costume make everything clear?
Yes, dear.
Well, then, what are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm going on with our little comedy from where we left off last night. Comedy I've been playing for your sake since yesterday afternoon. If you wish, we can keep it up, but I really think we've had enough of it by now.
You mean you've been acting ever since yesterday afternoon?
Of course I've been acting. Did you think for a moment that you could fool me, your own wife, just by dressing up in that ridiculous costume and putting on those absurd whiskers?
What?
You, you all the time.
I don't believe it.
But why not? You trust yourself to play a difficult part well enough to deceive even me, and yet you don't think I can play a much easier one, though my acting ability is fully equal to yours.
Oh, now we...
Better, possibly.
Now, let's not go into that. We are not discussing my acting.
Oh, but we are. If you can play the guardsman well enough to fool me, why couldn't I play the woman who believed in the guardsman well enough to fool you?
Because I simply could not be recognized, whatever you may say.
Oh, you couldn't disguise your kiss. It was so entirely your own. It's impossible not to recognize it.
Yes, I was afraid you recognized my kiss.
Mm-hmm. And then your eyes. What was it I told you the day that you first told me you loved me? What was it I told you about your eyes?
That the look in my eyes...
Oh, sweet, warm, sad look.
That betrayed me.
Yes. You're looking at me like that now.
Well, I don't want to.
Oh, but you are.
And I am to believe that you recognized me the very first minute.
The very first minute.
Well, then why didn't you tell me from the beginning?
Because I wanted you to play the comedy out to the end. I didn't think you lacked the courage to go through with it.
Uh-huh. Then you do love me.
You'll never put me to the test again.
Never again.
And you love me?
Oh, I am so in love with you, darling.
Oh.
Why are you crying now?
Oh, I could only tell you why I'm crying.
Thank you.
For Miss Harding and myself, thank you. The Chase and Sanborn Hour with W.C. Fields, Rogers and Hart, Ray Middleton, Dorothy L'Amour, Werner Jansen, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy continues in just a moment.
You know, Mr. Bergen?
Yes?
I've always wondered why they ring those bells.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. You don't suppose it's to wake up the people, do you?
Well, I see you're back, Charlie.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Amici. Yes, indeed. I go, but I return.
Yes, that's inevitable. The Chase and Sanborn Hour continues. Two of the loveliest melodies Jerome Kern has ever written are The Way You Look Tonight and Our Song, Werner Jansen and the Orchestra.
Thank you.
have the very great pleasure now of welcoming back to good health and into last circulation our friend W.C. Fields, who makes his first appearance since a serious illness which kept him off the stage and out of pictures for over a year. And now he returns fully recovered to say hello. W.C. Fields. Mr. Fields, I'm sure you'll feel at home because here's your old Follies piano player, Werner Jansen.
Oh, yes. Hi, Jackson. I've known Werner Jackson for quite a spell.
Mr. Fields, the name is Jansen, Werner Jansen.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Jansen. Yeah. Hi, Werner. Cute little fellow, isn't he? How's everything?
Mr. Fields, that's Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, so it is, honey. How are you, Charlie?
How do you do, Mr. Fields? How do you do?
You've put on quite a little weight since I saw him last night.
Now, Mr. Fields, listen. Will you tell us about the accident that started your illness?
Oh, yeah, half a tick. You are Mr. Bergen, aren't you?
No, Mr. Fields. That's Miss Harding.
Oh, yes, I see. Yes, I know Miss Harding very well. How's your partner, Mr. Laurel?
No, Mr. Fields. You're confused with Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, yeah, how silly of me. I beg your pardon, Mr. Laurel.
Mr. Fields, listen. Everybody is impatiently waiting to hear about your recovery. Now, if you'll kindly...
Yes, certainly. Excuse me, Mr. Bergen.
No, I'm Don Amici, remember?
Oh, yes. Remind me to ask the dummy a few questions after I said hello to the folks. Yeah. How old is Charlie McCarthy?
He's 12 years old.
12 years old? How interesting. I wonder if the little Lipper will sing me a song.
Yeah, I will if you give me
$10. $10, eh? He's more than 12.
Well. He's really older than he looks, you see. He was hewn out of an old oak tree.
His face looks as though it's hewn out of a piece of sassafras root.
How is that so, huh? Well, if they had to cut your face out of a piece of wood, they'd have to use redwood for a nose. and an ample bit of it, too, I might say.
You too, eh?
Charlie. All right, Mr. Fields. Now about that serious illness of yours.
Oh, yes, of course. I was pretty redwood for a nose. He's a pretty fresh little punk, isn't he? Redwood for a nose. You're full of termites.
And the guy is drunk.
Take him away. Draw his fly. Don't care. I may be drunk, but I'll be sober tomorrow, and you'll still be full of termites.
I'm glad to see you looking so well, W.C. You don't mind if I call you W.C., do you?
Oh, no, I guess not. Oh, it's a bit confusing, though. In Europe, royalty always referred to me as the W.C. You know, John Amici, I could call you D.A., but the folks would think I was in trouble again.
You know, from the reports I got, you surely have had your share of trouble. They said you were at death's door.
Yes, I was.
Well, what did the doctors do?
Oh, they did everything in their power to pull me through. Fine lot of boys, those medicos. Redwood for a nose. He's only 12, eh? What's he wearing a wig for?
Now, look, W.C., I know you were very ill, but what I'd like to get at is... just what really was the main trouble?
I had a very stubborn case of pernicious dandruff.
Pernicious dandruff?
Yeah.
Well, isn't it a fact that you broke your neck?
Oh, yes. I forgot all about that.
I heard you were run over by an automobile.
Yeah. Can you imagine that little rat pulling that crack? If they ever called my place out a red one?
Yeah.
Use redwood for a nose.
Now, W.C., please. How did you come to break your neck?
I didn't come to break my neck. I came to ride a bicycle. I should have stuck to my velocipede.
You were riding a bicycle and,
A Paramount truck loaded with props.
Now, please, please don't mention any names. Just say a truck.
Oh, yeah, but it was a Paramount truck.
Yes, I know, but this is a Chase and Sanborn program.
Well, I can say it was a Chase and Sanborn truck.
Yeah, that's fine. Fine, now go on.
But if you want to know the truth, it really was a Paramount truck.
I'm sorry I mentioned it. Now go on.
Well, anyway, a truck.
Yeah, a truck.
Owned by Paramount.
Please, Mr. Fields, will you please go
on?
Well,
you keep interfering all the time. A Paramount truck backed over me and broke my neck. Could I say a Paramount truck loaded with Chase and Sanborn coffee? Would that be all right? Can you imagine that little rat Redwood for a nose? Now, I didn't like that ample bit of it, too. Wonder how I'd like to have my nose filled with nickels. Wouldn't mind that, would he?
Now, Mr. Fields, you've told us the truck ran over you and you broke your neck. Now, please, forget all about Charlie. What happened next?
Well, it took me to a hospital.
You were in the hospital for quite a siege, weren't you?
10 weeks.
Of course, you had a pretty nurse.
One I had false teeth and a glass eye. But I suppose you would say she was pretty. And she was gentle as a mountain lion. And she weighed as much as a Paramount truck.
Quiet. Don't say.
See, I didn't wait. See, I filled with Chase and Sanborn coffee.
All right. Well, what was the doctor's exact diagnosis of your ailment? Just a broken neck?
No, the croaker said I had mogo on the go-go-go. Or what is known to medical science as Ralph and Aldo.
Well, what does that all add up to in English?
A broken neck coupled with a very stubborn case of pernicious dandruff.
Yeah. When you got home, something else happened, didn't it?
I was ingurgitating an invigorating stimulant that I call red milk. And I slipped down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, well, what was the breakage in that nonstop flight?
I fractured the southernmost portion of my spinal column. And to my great dismay, I discovered I'd spill half of the tasty nectar. Can you imagine that little rat, Redwood for a nose? Don't let him get away, will you? Hold on.
Yeah, now, after your 3-point landing, what did they do?
Oh, they refilled my glass and off we went to the hospital.
Yeah.
Clang, clang, clang.
W.C.
What is this sound I hear?
Wait a minute.
The ambulance is coming.
Yeah,
yes,
look.
The siren's ringing clear.
Yeah, but W.C. Now, wait until
these pretty nurses laugh and dance.
W.C., wait a minute. Wait.
Whilst the breathing pains.
Wait a minute. Just
bring the stretchers out.
W.C., now, wait a minute.
Doctors brandishing their sharp knives.
W.C., will you wait a minute, please?
Say, I wrote most of that myself. It's pretty good.
Where were we?
I don't know where you are, but there I was in my same beloved cot back in the hospital.
Yeah, you weren't out of the hospital long, were you?
Just long enough to drink my lunch. And then, Redwood for a nose. I'll take baby Leroy in preference to him anytime. And he's no bargain.
Oh, come. Come on, Mr. Fields. Forgive and forget. I seem to recall that in Poppy, you had yourself another accident.
Yes, whilst cavorting in Poppy, I was again compelled to venture on a high bicycle. I instructed the boys to catch me in case I fell off.
And did they catch you?
Yes, on the first bound. Clang, clang, clang. What is this sound I hear? The ambulance is coming.
So you were off to the hospital for another 10 weeks, huh?
Yes, and this time I enjoyed my convalescence, having a nervous breakdown.
For 10 weeks?
No. The run was curtailed on account of my developing lobar pneumonia. They put me in an oxygen tent. I thought I was camping.
But what do you mean?
After I played 3 weeks of Fields the Campfire Girl, I returned to play out my open 2 weeks of nervous breakdown.
What next?
A pulled tendon, broken left foot, Paget's disease, double vision, infected toe, more nervous breakdown. They came so fast and furious it was difficult to distinguish them from perfect health.
I had Miffintiff and Buffindill.
What?
Oh, don't ask me what they are. And a slip sacroiliac.
A slip what?
Sacroiliac. S-A-C-R-O hyphen. You're on your own from there on.
Well, the doctors cured you of everything, didn't they?
Yes, everything but that stubborn case of pernicious dandruff. It was ferocious, Ratty. Clang, clang, clang.
Clang, 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 clang. Thank you very, very much.
Picture 50 Roads to Town, Ann Southern and I did a little song that's been haunting me. And they say the best way to get a haunting song out of your dreams is to sing it at people. So I'm singing this one at you.
Never in a million years could there be another you. I would shed a million tears if ever we were through. Never in a million moons could you ever be surpassed. And darling, for a million June, this love of ours will last. There would be no world for me if ever we would part. Where I go, your name will be right on the tip of my heart. For only once in every lifetime, someone just like you appears. Is there any greater glory, any greater thrill? No. Never in a million
doing in London tonight. Dear old Rudy, what a voice, what a voice.
Charlie.
Yes, and what a right uppercut, too. Woo-hoo!
Charlie, I must ask you to remember,
This is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and the boss is not Rudy Valley. It's Don Amici.
Who did he ever lick?
Shape right now, Charlie. And here's my trainer, John Heaston.
Thank you, Don Amici. Here's some information that can be of value to you on exactly 21 occasions this coming week. The 21 occasions are the 21 meals you'll have before next Sunday at this same time. 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. And every one of those 21 meals will be more enjoyable if the coffee you have with it is rich and satisfying and delicious. Millions of people are enjoying that sort of coffee, Chase and Sanborn coffee. And please remember, this superb blend is very reasonable in price, so it's actually an economy to serve this finer coffee. Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee is a blend of the world's choice coffees, guaranteed fresh by our unique dating and rapid delivery system. Besides assuring freshness, this system does away with any need for high-priced containers, so we can pack this finer, fresher coffee in an economical dated paper bag and pass on our savings to you. That's why you can enjoy this rich, high-quality coffee at such a reasonable price. Try this superb blend and enjoy the cash saving it gives you. Buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
My Heart Stood Still is just one of the many great songs written by Dick Rogers and Larry Hart. Ever since the first Gary Gaiety's down to their latest Broadway hit, Babes in Arms, there's been a pungent freshness in everything they write. Their most novel musical work is a stirring All Points West. Currently, they're writing the new Mervyn LeRoy production starring Fernand Gravé and Ethel Merman. Say, Larry, which comes first in writing a song, the words or the music?
Well, Dick, how do we usually answer that question?
It can happen either way.
And it usually happens neither way.
We usually start with a title.
Start with an idea.
Then I write a tune to it.
I write a lyric to the tune.
And there we are.
Yeah, well, there you are, but where am I? We're still trying to find out which came first, the chicken or the egg.
Well, maybe you'd better ask a couple of other roosters.
Now, about All Points West, whose idea was that?
Well, a fellow named Paul Wyman is holding a modern music concert, which he combined his orchestra with the Philadelphia Symphony. And he's putting on a series of musical stunts. Take it away, Dick.
So he asked us to do something special for his concert. I racked my brain. Larry racked his brain.
You see, Don, it's just a racket.
Yeah. We tried to get the most characteristic American sound.
We settled on a train announcer.
From this idea came All Points West, a combination tone poem, oratorio, and one-act play.
Sometimes it sings.
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it rhymes.
Sometimes it doesn't.
And how did you discover Ray Middleton to sing it?
Oh, we can't take credit for that.
No, Ray was suggested. We showed him the manuscript. He proceeded to read it and sing it off as if he'd rehearsed it 1,000 times.
And if you know All Points West, that's almost a miracle.
And we're delighted he's doing it tonight.
And so are we. Ray Middleton in All Points West by Rogers and Hart.
Track 33 at 11:27, the Great Lakes Express bound for Albany, Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, Erie, Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit, Kalamazoo, and All Points West.
Clear enough, ain't it? Don't stand too near the mic. That's the secret.
Remember when we used to call them through megaphones? Had to yell our lungs out, now it's easy. See that salesman with his sample cases and his wife. She's kissing him goodbye, a long, long trip. She's whispering in his ear, he promises. Oh yes, he'll be true. Oh yes, he'll be true. Ha ha! Your salesman get around must be marvelous. Home is where your satchel is, and on the train, on the train. I never get in a... There's a mother saying goodbye to her boy. Go west, young man. She's crying. They always cry. You'll be going to get a job out there. They say there's lots of jobs for any young man out west. I ain't so young anymore, but I'd love to go. Where the breeze smells fine from the sage and pine, and the sun burns rock into gold. I have heard when you ride on the prairie so wide, you forget that a man can roll. For the Rockies rise to the sunburned skies, and the world opens up like a fan. But for me, there is dust, there is dirt, there is dust. While you go with young man, while you go with young man. Look at those doughboys. You ask where those rookies are going? Plattsburgh, where the camp is. That's where they train. They line them up each morning, and boy, they got to shine. Each button must be buttoned before they get in line. The drummer starts in drumming, the bugles start to blare, with uniforms a-gleaming, and noses in the air, and noses in the air. At night they're beer and smoking, and maybe shooting traps. They sit together joking until it's time for tap. Da-da-da, da-da-da. What a life! I never get anywhere. Number 42 for Boston? Yes, miss. Leaves right away on track 7. College girls, 8 of them. Ain't they pretty? Finishing school, they call it. They used to call them flappers. Now they're dead. How young they are. How sweet they are. How clean they are. How fresh and beautiful. Their hands are soft. Their eyes are bright. At night they sleep and dream their hearts away. Life is a dance to them. It makes me at 12:10, the honeymoon express bound for Harmon, Austining, Albany, Rochester, Buffalo, Niagara Falls, and all points west. Look at that guy. No honeymoon for him. Poor guy. He's handcuffed to a cop. Yep, a burglar. Maybe a killer. No Niagara Falls for him. He'll get as far as Austining. Up the river. Maybe for keeps. How mad he looks. What's he mad about? At least he's going somewhere. There's a honeymoon couple with all their friends and relations. Rice they're throwing, an old shoe. Hands to hold and sights to see. They've got the world. The world is free, speeding through the night with him.
Broke away. Look at the cops. They got him. No, they didn't. Oh, I hope he makes it. Look out. Look out. There's a cop behind that post. He's got his feet. He got away. Hurry, hurry. Cop's got his gun out. Don't shoot. Don't shoot, you fool. You'll hit someone. Why me? Here. I'm going. Going on track 7 at 12. Oh, sights to see. To see. To go. I'm going somewhere now. Oh, I leave at last on a train that passed, and the whistle is starting to blow. Now the track is all clear, and the chief engineer says, all points west, let's go. Says, all points west, let's go.
Always must be an au revoir. And I'm saying it now for our guests, Ann Harding and Rogers and Hart. For Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy.
I'll be back next Sunday.
Yes, Charlie. And so will W.C. Fields.
That would for a no. Clang, 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 what is this sound?
Thank you, W.C., thank you. And in addition, next Sunday, the Chase and Sanborn Hour will bring you Joseph Bentinelli and Carol Lombard.
Not Carol Lombard. I wonder if she'd like a lemonade. Huh?
Well, you'll certainly find out, Charlie, because she'll be here and so will the rest of us. And that means W.C. Fields, Dorothy L'Amour, Werner Jansen, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Joseph Bentinelli, Carol Lombard, and yours sincerely, Don Amici. Until next Sunday at the same time, au revoir. Heard on this program were Our Song from When You're in Love, The Way You Look Tonight from Swing Time, My Heart Stood Still from Connecticut Yankee, Beautiful Lady from Pink Lady, and The Big Show from Head Over Heels by Jerome Kern. Next Sunday at the same time, same station, Don Amici, newest 20th Century Fox star, will introduce another Chase and Sanborn Hour with W.C. Fields, Dorothy L'Amour, Werner Jansen and the orchestra, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Joseph Bentinelli, and Carol Lombard. Be sure you're listening next Sunday. The National Broadcasting Company.